Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
A little extra Padres news. Non-Rauke Sasaki variety yesterday when we saw that Donovan Solano signed a one-year deal with the Seattle Mariners worth a reported $3.5 million. I believe he's got another million or million and a half available in incentives if he has a good season. Donovan Solano, I'm going to miss. And I think his teammates are going to miss him as well.
Donnie Barrels, man.
Called him the teacher. He was a guy that stepped in when the Padres needed someone to hit. And he hit. Hit like 286, 8 home runs last year in 96 games. Was an absolutely key contributor both on the field and in the dugout and in the clubhouse for the San Diego Padres last season.
Yeah, it's funny how it the perception is different wherever you are. Our pal Dave Softy Mahler, who is one of the most hardcore Mariners fans there is up there in Seattle. Paulie grew up listening to him. Paulie's probably on Paulie's Mount Rushmore of radio hosts.
Yeah.
Softy, he was great. We've interviewed him many times. After the news breaks, he tweets, 37 years old, won war with the Padres last year. Mariners will be his fifth team in 5 years. Not happy with the signing of Donnie Barrels, but it's because he doesn't know Donnie Barrels yet. We were not overjoyed. We thought, oh, good move, low risk, but, you know, is he a game changer? And turns out he was. He was a game changer for this team and had some really, really big hits and a really good clubhouse guy as well.
So I think the key, though, there is 37 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Solano was a bit of a bonus last year. You know, a flyer at 36.
Yep.
Was not given a, you know, like a major league contract by anyone at the start of the season. Padres needed someone. AJ liked his makeup and I think kind of crossed his fingers, you know? Guy, you know, usually barrels it. Can he still do it for one more year? He did. I don't necessarily think the proper strategy is then chasing that for even more money the next year, you know, and giving him a raise as he's getting older. So the fact that the Padres let him go is probably smart baseball, ultimately, as much as I'm going to miss him and miss, you know, the leadership that he brought. I think the chances are the Mariners don't get as much out of him for a higher cost than the Padres got out of him for a lower cost last season. That's just at age and logic in my mind at play. Why pay more for less when you don't have to?
And I can see Softy's logic here, too. When you're blessed with one of the best rotations in baseball, the most quality starts in baseball last year, the Seattle Mariners, your future is so bright, but you really don't have anybody that can put the bat on the ball, and your main addition in the offseason is a 37-year-old Donovan Solano. I can see what his point is. Like, if I'm the Mariners' ownership, I'm going to try to stack that lineup with the best hitters I could find.
That can't be your first move of the offseason.
It can't. I mean, it's like, you know, with guys like Kyle Tucker that were out there that you could have made moves for. There's so many players out there that you could have brought into Seattle to help that lineup. When your first move is Donovan Solano, I get it. Now, you're also talking to a fan base that hasn't done anything right here in San Diego. So I kind of agree. But we have good hitters. We have good hitters. We're paying them an exorbitant amount of money to hit, but we have good hitters right now. But we still have holes to fill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully after the Sasaki decision is made, we will see, you know, a few more major league moves made by the San Diego Padres. I am expecting that.
As am I.
You know, and if they don't, then they'll be a deficient team heading into spring training, at least. If they don't add a couple of pieces other than even Roky Sasaki, if they do land him coming up this week. One thing that AJ Preller has always been good at, though, is identifying that talent, you know, in its rawest form. And I was looking this morning at ESPN.com again, and something that I feel like Padres fans have been talking about for years. And they did a little thought piece, and it said, ranking all 30 MLB rosters if trades and free agency never existed. What if transactions were not allowed in Major League Baseball? So once you acquire a team, whether you draft a
player,
international signing, once they're in your organization, that's it. They're there for life. So, you know, no trading away of prospects for major league stars. No, you know, free agency after 6 years. That's just who you've got.
And that's where you play.
And ultimately, I think the result of this is identifying which teams kind of identify young talent the best, whether it's in the draft or who it's signing. And I was interested to see the Padres stacked up pretty well, which didn't surprise me, as fans are always going, man, if we could just undo some of those trades and get some of those prospects back. The Padres actually ranked sixth on this list, and they listed the guys who would still be with the Padres. And for the regulars, they had Ty France, C.J. Abrams, Trey Turner, Ha-Sung Kim, Luis Camposano, James Wood, Jackson Merrill, Hunter Renfroe, Jake Bowers. For a rotation, they had Max Fried, Mackenzie Gore, Zach Eflin, Miles Michaelis, and Ryan Weathers. And then for the bullpen, Emmanuel Clase, Andres Munoz, David Bednar. Good start there.
7, 8, and 9 right there. Yeah. A six-inning game, basically.
Lineup doesn't really blow my hair
back. No.
Pitching staff, pretty good. Starting pitching staff, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Elite bullpen.
So the teams that they were behind, number one, the Baltimore Orioles, who have been heralded in recent years. I mean, a lot of those guys are actually still on the Orioles.
Yes.
Add in, though, like a Manny Machado and a couple of other players, a couple other pitchers. But they have kept a lot of those stars in their lineup, and that's why they've been on the upswing. The Braves, number two, not a shocker. Always been a good development and drafting organization. You know, Freddie Freeman would still be there. They would still have a lot of their stars like Ronald Acuna Jr., Michael Harris, Ozzie Albies still there, Austin Riley. Then it's the Mariners, a team that's probably done less with their drafting and developing than some other teams, probably because they haven't spent on any free agents to augment some of their own players. Dodgers are at number four, and then the Mets are at number five.
Give me the Dodgers lineup.
So the Dodgers, here's what the Dodgers would still have. Regulars, Carlos Santana. Ha-Sung Kim, just signed him. Corey Seager, Michael Bush, Will Smith, Yordan Alvarez, O'Neill Cruz, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson. That's a
pretty solid
lineup. A great lineup of regulars. Their rotation, I don't even remember this one, Nathan Eovaldi, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Ryan Pepiot, and bullpen Kenley Jansen, Yimi Garcia, Caleb Fernandez.
Not bad.
Solid. Yeah, I would say comparable, right, to
better
the Padres.
Lineup.
Yeah,
better lineup, for sure.
Padres have a better bullpen. But, yeah, comparable with the identifying of the early talent that would still be in there. Now, that's obviously not the game. You have to turn that early talent into actual major league rosters, and you got to spend some money, and that's what ends up your product on the big league level in, you know, years after the fact.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. And you know, going back to Roky for a second, I saw somebody tweet yesterday, somebody needs to explain to me why this is such a franchise altering move. And just to reiterate the fact that you're getting a pitcher of his caliber and his quality for a pittance, and it's control. That's what it is. This move is all about control.
He's about a free agent next year.
6 years.
2 years.
This is not Yamamoto signing for $350 million. This is completely and utterly different. It's the same caliber of pitcher as Yamamoto was for $300 million less.
Yeah, think of the total outlay for 6 years for Roki Sasaki. So he's going to get his, $7 million in bonus money. Then he's going to make the minimum or close to it for 3 years. So that's, call that close to $3 million. So we're at about $10 million. Then he hits arbitration probably for the next 3 years. If he's as good as everyone says, he could probably make, eight, 15, and 25. So you're talking about somewhere in the range of $50 million for 6 years versus $350 million.
For 10 years.
Something like that. So you're just getting a giant discount on a player that otherwise would not be available.
Right.
And you could pay that player, but there's always the cost of then who you can't sign.
Correct.
Who you can't afford because you just paid that player. So you can devote more resources to your major league roster because you're devoting less resources to a top player like Roki Sasaki.
That's exactly right. I mean, the teams that do this the right way, this is a guy that can set you up. I mean, this is like drafting Paul Skeens, right? Who's ready to make the jump to the big league six months later. I think even Paul Skeens got a bigger bonus than this guy's going to get. I think Paul Skeens is going to make more money than Roki Sasaki. It is an absolute franchise altering decision that will be made in the next few days.
We will get into some of the NFL talk from last night's game at the bottom of the hour after Don't Do This, but it was an LA strong performance by the Rams last night. I was actually happy that they could lift up the spirits of some in that city. And if you are interested in helping and supporting the recovery efforts, the San Diego Food Bank is supporting the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank's ongoing relief efforts by collecting donations of non-perishable food and supplies through Thursday, January 16th, which will be delivered at the end of the week. Items can be dropped off at either of their warehouses in Miramar and Vista. The LA Regional Food Bank has requested the following items for donations: water, energy bars, pop top tuna and chicken, so nothing that needs a can opener, just so you can open it easily, raisins, other dried fruit, trail mix, peanut butter crackers, cheese crackers, 100% juice boxes, individual cereal boxes, diapers, and wipes. For more details, you can visit sandiegofoodbank.org/LA-wildfires, but if you do have some extra supplies and you can spare them and you can drop them off, they will be sent up to people who need them that are recovering from the wildfires this week in Los Angeles.
One thing I know about the Tier 1s is that they always, always, always come through. Always come through. So I'd love to get a bunch of people, and let's go to the store, let's get a bunch of stuff, let's take it down to the food bank and try to do our part.
Absolutely. It's interesting. As much as we bag on LA, and they are, our nemesis 12 months out of the year, this is different. This is something, obviously, that is tragic, and we should all be coming together to offer as much support as possible to, the people who are going through it. Because we've gone through it before.
Yeah, this ain't baseball. What I mean?
Yeah, this is different. We've gone through it before here in San Diego, so we know exactly what this feels like. And it's just the worst. It's just the worst to have to be dislocated, displaced. Even if you didn't lose your house, so many people evacuated, and everything that's going on has just been awful the last few days.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a run today, I think, down to the food bank. I used to do a ton of work for them back when I was on 94.9. It's an organization that is just completely selfless and phenomenal at what they do. So let's get it together. Get some cases of water, some diapers. I can't tell you guys, man, people with little kids right now must be flipping out. Just flipping out. Diapers, wipes, all that stuff comes in so handy. It's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination, but as much as we can do here in our city, let's give back as much as we can.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. Very creepy stalker story. Plus, the latest reminder that when you're on a big Zoom call with like national media, don't forget to mute your microphone.
Are you surprised that this hasn't happened to me yet?
No, yes. I think you're pretty.
I'm quiet.
You're careful and quiet about that.
This is embarrassing for the Giants media.
All right, let me tell you about the Barnes firm. They are the legal group that is representing people here in San Diego who have been in accidents, especially also, you know, workplace injuries, anything that you feel like you need legal representation. They've got you covered with a great team of attorneys. But specifically right now, they've been looking into the issue of self-driving cars, which are, you know, hey, kind of great, kind of cool. They're actually designed to eliminate accidents or at least minimize them, but sometimes it's unavoidable. It's weird. You know, a car is going to get into an accident. It can't avoid it. How does the car decide who to protect? The passenger, the pedestrian? There are real issues that could affect your safety and legal rights. And the Barnes firm has been deeply engaged with these emerging challenges, knowing that software glitches, sensor failures, hacking, all can play a part in this. So their team of expert attorneys are prepared to handle complex cases. If you are in an accident, you feel like your rights aren't being represented, if your wishes, your insurance company isn't paying what you should be paid, the Barnes firm is there to help you. Just go online to thebarnesfirm.com or make one easy call to 1-800-8-MILLION. Set up your free consultation. You will get charged nothing. And if you don't win your case, they take your case. They don't win, you will get charged nothing as well. So if you're in an accident, you want to have the best team of attorneys, that's the Barnes firm. Check them out today at thebarnesfirm.com or call 1-800-8-MILLION. Don't face it alone. It could be the best phone call you ever make.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot.
You moron.
dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Woodsy,
just
started.
Absolutely mortifying for Taylor Wirth of NBC Sports Bay Area in California. Was on the introductory Zoom with the Giants' newest addition, starting pitcher, Lord Baseball himself, Justin Verlander. And Justin was at home on his, on his wife's laptop, I do believe, because instead of saying Justin Verlander as the name, it said Kate Upton, which, by the way,
is a great flex.
Is a huge flex. Huge flex.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody forgot, my wife is Kate Upton. Just FYI. Buster,
you should really just have Hannah and just Carol Hannah's on face. All your Zooms,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I should just have her do my Zooms for me. My life would probably be much easier. But, Buster Posey is, talking about the addition and the team signing Justin Verlander, and then this random stray voice pops up.
And have always admired
what
the way that he takes care of
business. Look at Justin's name.
Oh.
If you guys can just, all the media on here, if you can just mute yourselves, please.
Yeah, it's a PR guy.
I'll change it. All right, I'll change it.
That's Justin. There's Justin. I'll change it. I'll change it, okay? Embarrassing.
Someone pointed out that the guy didn't have his video stream on, but there was a picture of him, like a publicity shot.
Yeah.
And they said, dude looks like a 13-year-old Colin Jost.
Yeah, he does.
It's like a young-looking reporter, for sure.
Yeah, he does. But when you're on those, when you're on any Zoom meeting, just double, triple check to make sure you're muted.
This story is disturbing.
Not so lighthearted.
Especially after I finally watched Baby Reindeer over the holiday break, which is a Netflix show about... Yeah. Yeah. A stalker in England.
It's no joke.
Of a comedian, bartender guy. It's a real story.
True story.
True story. And you can just see how awful it would be to have a stalker. And it happened, unfortunately, to WNBA star Caitlin Clark. According to court documents, a 55-year-old Texas man was arrested on felony stalking charges in Indianapolis after he allegedly, repeatedly sent threats and sexually violent messages to Clark. Now, we have some of the tweets that he sent. It was mostly done, I believe, on X, like this one. Been driving around your house 3 times a day. But don't call the law just yet. The public is allowed to drive by Gainbridge, a.k.a. Caitlin's Fieldhouse. And then I'm getting tickets. I'm sitting behind the bench.
Oh, come on, man.
And then after he had been warned, apparently, they said I was sending threatening texts, but the only thought on my mind was, Caitlin.
That is so creepy.
So creepy. The post, quote, actually caused Caitlin Clark to feel terrorized, frightened, intimidated, or threatened. There were also, as I mentioned, some violent ones as well that have not been made public. Caitlin says, I never once responded.
No.
Didn't do anything, didn't like
That's
anything.
So disturbing, dude.
Yeah, it's extremely disturbing. And hopefully, obviously, this is handled. But, Caitlin Clark is definitely the highest profile star the WNBA has ever had, which means some of these are probably somewhat new issues to the league as well. And, I'm sure they have league security that will look into it as well and try to make sure that, she is safe as possible. But, this is scary.
I think, there was a couple of threads going on the other day. A woman in Dallas actually was, and it was really disturbing to read, and she had to go public with it because this guy was stalking her. And I caught myself reading in the thread, and, I realized that police stations are inundated with all kinds of things and problems, but these threats and things like that, I think there needs to be a next level of taking it seriously. I really do. And I'm reading through. She's like, I've called, you know, Frisco Police Department 30 times. There's nothing they can do until he does this. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know the solution. I just know that threats like that, they got to be taken more seriously.
Paulie had said yesterday, was this like a story we had before? And I think what you're remembering, because we did it on Don't Do This, was the Oregon man who was arrested for stalking Paige Beckers, the UConn star.
Okay.
He flew like all the way from Oregon.
Yes. That's what it was.
And he was like, he was arrested, like walking along the side of the road saying, yeah, I'm going to see Paige Beckers of UConn. He was so obsessed with her, he actually flew all the way across the country.
So gnarly.
Like to continue his stalking and harassment. So, women's basketball. This is definitely a security issue.
Women in general. I mean, honestly, like it's an epidemic right now in our country. And then some good news.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
So the internet, it's undefeated. You know that. If you're out in public and you're making an ass out of yourself, chances are somebody's got a camera on you, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. It's a real good reminder for all of us to mind our P's and Q's. Ben, when we're out in public, especially at a sporting event. And I told you yesterday about the Philly fan who was berating the female Packers fan in front of her, calling her a fat, dumb C-word. It's shocking video to see. I mean, it's shocking video. He's clearly inebriated, but all over her in this game. Husband took a video of it. Took the internet all of 6 hours to get to the bottom of this. Just like the Baltimore fan that was running up and down the streets, beating up people randomly, saying, I never lose. He's in jail right now. Well, they got to the bottom of this. They found the guy. His name is Ryan Caldwell, and he is a investment guy for BCT Partners. So yesterday, you're kind of seeing, once they identified him.
Or was.
Well, so it says, here's the statement that they put out. The management at BCT Partners has been made aware of a video circulating involving an employee making offensive remarks outside the workplace. BCT Partners denounced this type of behavior. We take this matter extremely seriously. As an organization that has always stood for inclusivity, the conduct displayed was completely unacceptable, stands in direct opposition to our company's values. We've already begun a full investigation as an internal personnel matter to determine what actions will be taken. We sincerely apologize to everyone affected by this behavior and remain committed to fostering a culture of respect for all.
You never want to have your company have to send that email out about you.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the thing they always say is that every day on Twitter, you know, there's a main character. Don't be it. Don't be it. And it was Ryan Caldwell's turn. But, I mean, again, there's no excuse for that. Like, people are allowed to come to your stadium that root for other teams. It's fun to have fun with them. It's fun to break balls with them. But what is not okay is that, what went down.
Question.
Yep.
A lot of people in the chat are wondering why I read the stalker's tweets in a creepy, stalkery voice.
I thought that would
like convey how creepy it was if I did it in like the creepy sounding stalker voice. But was that wrong of me to do that?
I don't know. You had an artistic feeling and you went with it.
I did. And now I'm receiving some backlash for that. I apologize. And my camera died again. Okay, well, right. We will come back.
Not your
and
day.
That's Don't Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We will talk a little NFL coming up in last night's game in Arizona, final wild card game. Very costly to one of the quarterbacks involved, I would think. First, though, here's Woods.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you took Sam Darnold to have over like 180, what did he end up with yards passing? It was not a great night, but I played some underdog fantasy last night. If you're a California sports fan, there's good news. Underdog now available to play in our state. Best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going to go off? Which other ones are ice cold? You can actually pick either one. It's really, really fun. They've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. Cook up some entries, shot to win real cash prizes all playoffs long. All the other sports as well. If you're a golfer, I love doing fantasy picks on golf. They have that as well. It's just been a really fun experience. I've had a lot of fun with it and have won a little cash on the side too, which is great. Underdog, the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app, sign up with the promo code Woods, deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods when you sign up. Got to be 18 and over, present in the state. Operates. Terms do apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. I'm talking a lot this morning about Roki Sasaki, and I think that's probably the the right vein to stay in, Benny. And we all saw the video that came out yesterday. Now, from what I understand, it was posted on Reddit first. So it was posted on Reddit. Not sure who posted it. And then a Twitter follower of ours, I think it's at Padres Please Win, posted the video. And I saw it and I went, oh my God. Oh my gosh. That's him. That's crazy. And you look at the field and you put two and two together. Oh, they just had a rodeo there. That's why the field doesn't look great. But he's out there throwing a flat ground little session to Ethan Salas. And I got DMs yesterday going, oh, does this mean Ethan Salas is going to be our starting catcher? And I basically wrote back and said, no, I think, you know, listen, Roky Sasaki and his agent had mentioned before, you know, they want a team with a bright future as well. I think the San Diego Padres certainly have on paper a bright future as far as some of the guys that they've acquired and will continue to acquire. And I thought it was just kind of a, hey, why don't you throw to the kid here and let the kid catch you? And I think it was just cool for everybody.
That's a good point. I hadn't really considered it, but Ethan Salas is actually likely a major selling point for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be the Padres catcher this season. Correct. We don't expect that. But likely for most of Roky Sasaki's tenure with the Padres, Ethan Salas should be the guy he's throwing to. And from everything we've heard about Ethan Salas, the one thing that he does extremely well already at an all-star major league level is receive the baseball. And I would imagine a pitcher just throwing on a flat ground is going to go, man, look how smooth that guy is.
Cool.
How easily he catches it, frames it. I could see myself throwing to this guy for several years to come. I think
it's just a cool thing.
I think that's it's not just a cool thing. I think that was probably a strategic choice by the Padres to have Ethan Salas there catching Roky Sasaki.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
And then the other thing that I'm getting a lot of questions about, and I don't know the answer, so I will speculate fully on this. The video was pulled down. So the guy that posted on Twitter said, somebody asked him why was it taken down. He said, I did it out of respect to the guy that posted it on Reddit. So I think sometimes, now I don't know if the guy on Reddit heard from somebody that's, get that down right now. I have no idea.
That doesn't mean
zero.
Anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Once it's out,
it's out.
I was able to find it 20 minutes ago
or
whatever.
Sure. Yeah. And so, but there is something about a video like that you post that you don't realize the smoke you're going to get from it, right? Like you have a video that's like, holy crap, I'm going to get this. And the smoke that you get from the public and it goes national and John Boy's retweeting it. And it's a lot, right? When a tweet of yours goes viral, it's a lot to handle. And so maybe this guy panicked that took it from the high rise or whatever and said,
well, if it's not his video, certainly someone could say,
the guy from Reddit. Reddit panicked.
Maybe. But it's also, you know, it's his video to do with what he chooses.
Yeah.
He shot it and it's up to him. I mean, you know, he could try to sell it if he wanted to an act. Like I can't use that on television.
Oh yeah.
It's not my video. I don't have the rights to it. We would have to ask permission or buy it from him to use it on television. And maybe someone got into his ear and go, hey, you could maybe monetize this.
Yeah.
You don't just give it away to everyone. There could be a million explanations on that. I was wondering, and this is probably not even remotely the case, but could it have possibly been a bit of a test from Roky Sasaki's side to see how intrusive San Diego would be from a, you know, fan media perspective for a guy who wants some privacy where he signs.
I think that's such an overreach and such a stretch.
I agree. But I at least throw it out there just as a speculation.
No, I have seen it too of like, oh, there goes our chances. No. You have exactly as many chances today as you did yesterday.
All right. So, It's pretty sad when you think about the fact that had Sam Darnold 10 days ago tripped on a staircase and broken his ankle, he would probably be a much richer man this offseason than he's going to be having played the last two games. We'll talk about the wild card weekend wrap up last night on Monday Night Football from Arizona next on 97.3 The Fan after a check of traffic. There's a lot of talk today about how the Minnesota Vikings were a 14-3 fraud this season. The most wins ever for a wild card team in the NFL. And when you look at the schedule that they played, there's not a lot of quality wins in that 14. Their best win was probably their two-point wins over Green Bay were probably their best two wins of the season. After that, there's a lot of Giants, Bears, Jacksonville, Indy, Arizona, Tennessee. You know, they beat mediocre teams all year long. They won close games, so they probably compiled a better record than their talent indicated. However, I can't go so far as to call Sam Darnold a complete fraud. He had a really good season for the Minnesota Vikings and ended up in the last two games against the Lions to end the regular season and the Rams. And make no mistake, Rams have one of the best defensive fronts in football. Went up against two really quality opponents and, you know, struggled against those opponents. Better opponents than he had faced most of the season. It's not an indictment necessarily of Sam Darnold, but I think it reminds us that there's a reason why Sam Darnold was not considered a, you know, premier quarterback in the NFL, and that some of the numbers this year were at least artificially inflated by having a good receiver, a good coach, playing indoors, playing a weaker schedule. Yes, he was a product of a lot of that this year.
I mean, it's so hard to look at a guy that threw for 4,319 yards and 35 touchdowns and say, hey, you got lucky, pal. I don't know what to tell you. He got cold at the wrong time. He absolutely got it. Just like baseball teams, it happens to everybody. You get cold at the wrong time. He lost confidence after last week's game. I said it yesterday, and you watched it last night. You saw overthrows again. You saw uncertainty in the pocket with time. I mean, his feet were moving, Ben. Troy Aikman was like livid about Sam Darnold last night. He could not mask the contempt he had for Sam Darnold last night. But look, it's not
weird. He went like 9 for 10 to start. He was making throws.
And then he
just never felt like they were going to even threaten LA yesterday.
He got rattled, man, because he got
sacked nine times. And you can say he probably should have gotten rid of a couple of those and avoided them. There's no quarterback in football. Joe Montana is not going to have a good game when he's sacked anywhere close to 9 times.
But I think Joe Montana's not getting sacked 9 times.
Well, maybe not 9, but it's certainly not 0. I mean, he's, you know, he probably 5 or 6 at least times. That's on the offensive line, you know, and credit to the Rams defensive line for doing a great job. You can't pin that all on Darnold, though, getting sacked 9 times in the game. Usually, most people blame someone other than the quarterback when they're getting sacked all the time, and it seemed like Darnold got a lot of the blame. Ultimately, the Rams...
He took a lot of the blame, too. He did say, he goes, hey, look, I felt like there was a lot of sacks I was responsible for. I'm holding the football, taking sacks where I could have dirted it at someone's feet, thrown it over someone's head. He was able to throw it over many receivers' heads later in the game, missed a wide-open throw. I mean, just a tough time to have your confidence shot, and they got bodied last night. They got bodied real good.
And the Rams played a really good game.
They did.
Right from the jump, took the opening kickoff 70 yards down. Matt Stafford goes 6 for 6 on the opening drive. You know, guy who's won a Super Bowl, who's been there in these kind of games before, take an early lead, you take control. I thought a huge moment in this game, and you can say that Matthew Stafford was savvy or lucky, but the Rams were up 10-0. They gave up the field goal, and then moments later, the Vikings are returning what looked like what was originally ruled a fumble into the end zone for a tying touchdown. New game, everyone relaxes, yep. Sam Darnold relaxes. It's a different game at that point. But they go to the review and they go, yeah, Matthew Stafford was actually trying to flip that forward to Puka Nacua, who was, you know, 3 yards away.
Very lucky.
And not only was it not a fumble, it wasn't even intentional grounding. The Rams kind of got away with one there. I'm not saying it was the wrong call, but it was sketchy at best.
Yep.
You know, to get what was a touchdown for the other team, really no penalty at all. The Rams go down, score twice more in the first half. They're up, 24-3, and then it's over at that point.
Yeah, they were running the ball. Kyren Williams was awesome last night. Matthew Stafford was great. I mean, Nacua, somebody made the point on Twitter, like, how good is Puka Nacua that you basically forget they have Cooper Kupp? You know what I mean? It was just was a guy that caught everything for them. But, they spread it around. They ran the football. They were really physical on defense. Ben, who wants to play them, dude? Who wants to play that team? It's Philly, right?
So yeah, Philly.
Philly want to play that team?
Philly has
I think the Rams could absolutely knock Philly off.
I don't think there's any question.
So the Philly has a really good offensive line, which is not, I mean, not that the Rams can't get. And Jalen Hurts is a much more mobile quarterback than Sam Darnold. This is not the same game next week against the Eagles that it was against last night against the Vikings. However, I mean, there's definitely some emotion going on. I don't know if you saw Sean McVay in the locker room after the game. I mean, they're wearing their LAFD shirts and hats, and there was some real genuine emotion for that team. Will it carry over another week? Will it carry over to the other side of the country for a game? I think it's going to be in the 20s, outdoors, not inside. Yeah. Is it going to be the same next week? I don't know, but the Rams certainly have a bit of magic at this moment, and you can see them doing something unexpected and special this postseason.
Did McVay lose his house? Was he one of the guys that lost or was affected by it?
I don't think so. J.J. Okay. Redick did, Redick I know. Did. I don't think McVay did.
Steve Kerr lost his childhood home. Paulie, I did send you a video this morning, and if you want to pin something maybe on the Vikings losing... I don't know. Like, I was just talking about epidemics in this country. I think this is one of them. I saw this morning, and I retweeted it.
One second, I'll pull it up here.
Paulie's going to pull it up here in a moment.
It's not good.
It's not good. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
The need to drop a wrap before a playoff game.
Yeah.
We know it. Well,
yeah,
here in San Diego, we may never six. You going deep on us? That's gonna be a pick. 22 and 24. This is Jared Veggie. Every time they touch the turf, is gonna be a movie. Okay, B Flow, go ahead, drop some. It's way too easy. These other teams are none. As far as I'm concerned, they're nothing but some buns. Play cash. Straight cash. He can be in coverage or he can rush the pass. Van Gink in a mink. This team of Viking ship, I promise we won't sink. Yeah, before the season, all they did was doubt us. Thought we'd win four games, then clown us. Now we in the thoughts.
You know, he went to the trouble of finding a location that looked kind of cool. I don't know, there's big like
a parking garage.
Yeah, well, there's some sort of like big behind him that looked like grand in scale, so I'll give him credit for that.
Okay.
It wasn't the worst one of the variety.
No, that's
we've
ours.
Heard.
That's ours. We are, ours is
that's what's in.
There's nothing as bad as ours. Nothing on the planet. Manny's Bryce is going to lose. Manny's going to cruise. That's what's in.
That's it,
there's
really,
nothing
really hard to top.
Yeah, they're like a awful barbershop quartet with no music in the background. They didn't even put any production value into it.
This had production value.
This did. Yeah.
He laid down a beat.
He did.
He had some words that generally made sense, I think, if you're a Vikings fan.
Ours is, Andy says ours is actually the worst. I couldn't agree more. I've seen some bad ones. I've never seen one like that, like ours, ever. Forever cursed with that thing. Forever.
Bryce is going to lose and Manny's going to cruise.
We need to just, I don't know what we do, but I think we need to like get those guys in and exercise those demons. I just can't bring myself to do it. Because what if it gets worse?
I think we need to strap them to a rocket and send them away.
To a rocket. Where should we could exile them somewhere. Where can we exile them?
The moon.
The moon. Okay.
Jay of the J.O. says, Woodsy is the best. Ben, where's the mesh?
That's what's in. There you go. Oh. And see, the L.A. one, somebody's asking to play that one. No, they were jinx-proof this year. Which is weird because they had some pretty bad ones too. But
there is a dollar amount, it seems like. I don't know exactly what the number is, but there is a dollar amount there you can be jinx proof.
Your team has to spend a certain amount.
$700 million.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. $1 billion, actually. So, all right. Well, if you spend $1 billion, then you can wrap. If your team spends $1 billion, you can wrap all you want. It doesn't really matter.
Let's see. So during the game last night, news leaked out, quite coincidentally, I'm sure, that Deion Sanders had made contact with Jerry Jones about the now open Dallas Cowboys head coaching position.
Or vice versa, right?
Or vice versa. They've spoken. There's interest, mutual interest on both sides. They're going to remain in touch. Don't expect anything imminent. But honestly, I think there's a real chance that Deion Sanders ends up as the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry loves nothing if not a great circus.
A bit would be great. It'd be great for the content, certainly. The other name that they kept mentioning was Jason Witten coming in to coach the Cowboys. He's a Cowboys legend, but you know, zero head coaching experience in the NFL. It's an odd choice, to be sure. I don't know, man. I don't know what to feel. I don't know how to feel. I really don't care either way, but I do think for entertainment purposes, Deion coaching the Cowboys would be electric.
Oh, I was going to say, Jared loves the headlines.
He loves the headlines.
I think if you're Deion, you'd be nuts not to take the opportunity if it's offered to
you. Now, you can parlay this into another, you know, decent extension and more money with Colorado.
So a lot of people said, oh, there's no chance he leaves Colorado. I'm like, really?
I don't think he's
married to Colorado, especially with his son leaving.
I saw some veteran Cowboys reporters saying that Jerry would never pay, I believe he currently has an $8 million buyout with Colorado. And Jerry just doesn't do that. He doesn't even like firing coaches early and paying them twice. That's why Mike McCarthy just let his contract run out and now move on to another one. So he doesn't have to pay two coaches at the same time. He's kind of frugal that way, is Jerry. But, I mean, if you're going to sign Deion, it's going to be a massive deal. He's not coming to the Cowboys cheap. Deion could just say, fine, I'll pay the $8 million buyout. You just pay me $8 million more than you thought you were going to pay as my salary. However you want to work it out, I think that's a hurdle that can be overcome if Jerry really wants Deion Sanders to be the coach. Jason Witten, that makes no sense. If you're going with the big former player splash, it's Deion Sanders. You will have everybody talking about you. You will have...
You already do, though.
Yeah, but
that's the thing, is like, if you're the Cowboys, aren't they consistently the number one most valuable team in sports
Because
every
they do
year?
Things like this, though.
But they don't. They had boring-ass Jason Garrett. They had Mike McCarthy. He likes puppets, man. Like, Deion's not going to be a puppet for him. I just don't know if it's going to work.
If the Cowboys go 14-3, they're the most talked about NFL team. If they go 3-14, they're still the most talked about NFL team.
And if they go 8-8.
8-9 or whatever, then
or
they're still the most talked about team. So I guess you're right. They don't need it, but it does fit their MO.
Ben nailed it yesterday. You nailed it yesterday when you said Jerry Jones would rather lose his way than win and not get credit. And I think that's absolutely right on. Like, he wants to be the guy in charge of pulling the strings that lead to a Super Bowl champion, just like happened 30 years ago. And then Jimmy Johnson spoke his mind, and what happened? He's out on his ass. Never to coach again. And the team has been in a free fall ever since.
Well, I'm definitely more hesitant that Jerry Jones is going to pull the trigger on this. I think if it's offered, Deion should make the jump. I mean, going from Jackson State to head coach of the Cowboys in 3 years. I don't care if your name is Deion Sanders or what. That is quite,
I want to see it.
That is quite the meteoric rise in coaching circles to go from Jackson State to the Dallas Cowboys in that amount of time.
I want to see it. And I think Troy Aikman even said on the broadcast last night, it's not a place you can go where you're going to be able to do and speak your mind freely like Deion Sanders would want to do. So I don't know that it's a great fit.
Well, the crazy thing, the Troy Aikman comments about, you know, people say, well, this is a premier job. And he's basically like, is it?
Is it?
Is it?
Is it really a premier
and this
job?
This is Troy Aikman.
That's Troy Aikman
calling out the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if this is a coveted job in the NFL anymore. I mean, Jerry was probably seething when he heard that from a respected Cowboys voice like Troy Aikman.
I don't think Troy's wrong.
I don't think he's wrong either.
Basically saying that Jerry has turned the Dallas Cowboys into kind of a laughing stock, a joke.
No question.
That was the implication from Troy Aikman last night. I was surprised to hear him say that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised that he thought it.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised to hear him actually say it on national television on ESPN.
Yep. Absolutely. He's absolutely right.
We've got Dave Rickards coming in studio in the second half of Ben and Woods. That's coming up on our 9 o'clock hour. So we've got Take on Woods and an early rival report to get to, all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, wow.